Okay, so we some very special people in our city. I want to invite up our police chief, Mike Hamill, who's going to come up. And our fire chief, Greg McEwen, is going to come up. And can we give them a round? Can we stand up, man? These guys work so hard. Can you give them a round of applause as leaders? You guys, honestly. So they both want to give their full-blown 40-minute testimonies to you right now. I'm kidding. But so here's some greetings from our police chief.
Thank you, Pastor Winans. So on behalf of the entire Irvine Police Department, I just want to say thanks so much for the invitation today to come here and celebrate God with all of you. I look forward to this event every year. I think this is now with 3 years running. Right. And also just take a minute to say a couple words about Pastor Frank. He is not only, as he mentioned, our police chaplain, he's our senior chaplain, but he's also a personal friend of mine. And we hang out, we go to breakfast together, we see movies together. And I think you already know this, but I just want to reiterate it, that this is one amazing man. He is such an excellent leader. Let's give him a round of applause. And also just want to acknowledge the amazing relationship that we have, Irvine PD, with the faith-based community, including Woodbridge Community Church. That relationship is so important. When you look around the world and you see all kinds of terrible and horrible things that happen, it's sometimes hard to remember that there are some amazing things that are happening in this world as well to be very, very thankful for and that we're all blessed for. And so our relationship with our faith-based community and how they help us navigate some of the tough aspects of our job, especially in Frank's role as our chaplain, is just commendable and it's invaluable. And I just cherish Frank and the role that he plays and the relationship that we have with our faith-based community. I want to also just acknowledge my partner and my friend, Greg McEwen, our divisional fire chief here. We work hand-in-hand nearly every single day. We're talking just about every day on public safety issues that cross over and impact our wonderful community. Last, I wanted to just acknowledge my wife is here. She's also a civil servant. She's a lieutenant for Fullerton PD. And then also my senior commander, Commander Mike Hallinan, is here with his wife, Terry. Let's get in. Another friend of mine, I know that there's others that are here that I may not recognize that are civil servants, but my friend Darren White's also here. I think you know him. And with that, I just want to again say thank you very much for the invitation, and I feel very just proud to be here to celebrate this morning with all of you.
God bless you. God bless you. Did you get that one? Hold on, stay here.
Good morning. Good morning. Too close. So I will echo what Chief Hamill said. We are speaking every day about the good things and some of the tough things that are happening in this community. Pastor Frank mentioned the accident the other night. I actually was out there with my folks making sure our responders are okay because they are not unaccustomed to seeing this on a daily basis. And so that was pretty horrific accident. But the firefighters and the police officers were out there working together to make a bad situation better, and we were able to get three of the family members to the hospital, and I'm praying that they're going to be okay. So for us, Chief Hamill, myself, Commander Hallinan, Chief Harrison, who's with me today, we couldn't be here without our wives. I would say probably that's pretty amazingly true. My wife Tammy's, we've been married for, yeah. We've been married for almost just over 30 years, so yeah. So without her, I definitely couldn't be here. I know Chief Hamill and Commander Hallinan and Chief Harrison, we couldn't be here without our wives or our family members, so we're blessed. We want to bless the community. That's what I try to do every day is bless my folks, bless the community, and just be there and care. And I know Chief Hamill feels the same way as I do. So thank you for honoring us. I don't think we deserve honoring. it's the rank and file folks that are doing the hard work on the streets every day. We're just helping them be successful at their jobs. So thank you very much. I'll give it back to Pastor Frank, and if you have any questions, I know Chief Hamill and I will be around, so thank you.
Stay up there. Okay, awesome. Hey, let me say this. Do you know the Lord of the Ring, when poor Frodo had to carry around that ring? That ring is like leadership. These guys carry around the mantle of leadership, and it's hard to be a leader. And these guys make decisions that impact so many people. And so before we go any further, I'm going to ask you all just to extend a hand, and we're going to pray a special blessing on these two men. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, and we lift before you these two very special, gifted individuals called by you to perform and lead people in very important ministries. I ask, Lord, that you would grant these two a special sense of your presence in their lives. We ask, God, that you would grant them a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of discernment, a spirit of understanding as they lead these departments and as they lead their families. We pray, God, your blessing on these two men. We ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And all those who agree with this would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. So you all, thank you guys. See, hey, so check this one out. You can grab a seat. If you've been at the church very long, we have had a very special man come. Clay Cranford is a special brother. He's spoken a few times with us with cyber parenting. Clay is an expert in dealing with cybersecurity and just dealing with children and protecting kids from predators on the internet. He's come and he's given two seminars for our families. And let me stay straight up, Clay, you just scared our families every time you came. And so we thought, as he's an officer in the Orange County Sheriff, and he is a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. And we've asked him to come up and just to share his life with us and just for us to get to know him a bit more, his spiritual journey and what he does and so forth. So if you would you please welcome our brother, Clay Cranford, up.
Thank you. Sorry,
dude. I don't think the PowerPoint's got, but we got the picture, so we're good.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am incredibly honored to be here this morning, and to know Pastor Frank and my brother Michael, who's a part of your staff here, just really special to be with you today. So let me, before I get started, I'd like to just tell you a little bit about me, and I have some photos. So I think the first one here you're going to see is my family, and so that my two boys who are here with me today, Clay and Zachary. My mom is also here, Patricia. Unfortunately, my wife, who I agree with the chief over here, is the secret to my success, is a nurse. She's a first responder, or she's a servant, and she's today serving at Mission Hospital. So she would like to have been here, but she's serving other people today. So that's who she is. So the next slide is where I started my law enforcement career, which was here in Irvine. Irvine PD, I'm so thankful for Irvine to hired me, put me through the academy, gave me a career in law enforcement, and that's where I met Frank as our chaplain, and we'll talk more about that later. The next slide is I moved on to the Sheriff's Department, and this is 2 years ago when I promoted to sergeant, and that's been, law enforcement for me has been an amazing opportunity, mainly giving me the opportunity every day to make a difference, and that's been an incredible blessing. The next slide is the uniform I would really like to be wearing every day, and this is retirement plan A. I don't have a plan B or C. This is it. So I took my boys and my wife fly fishing, my other passion, to Hot Creek up in just north of Bishop. It was a beautiful day. Caught a couple good-looking rainbows there. And everybody caught fish, even the boys, so we had a great time. And then next is going to be my other passion, which is serving the Lord overseas. I went to Cambodia. I've been there twice. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that here in a moment. But serving over there in a country that is that's really a dark place, really. But God is doing some amazing things there. The next slide. This is the kickboxing gym that I served in almost every day over there. And those are my boys. And those little guys there, and they're and men, young men, they're mentoring these guys and talking about Christ and how the kind of man that Christ wants them to be. Because a lot of the problems over there, with child sex trafficking, with violence, especially domestic violence, dating violence, is really lacking in a leadership in the family. And these guys, one day, they're going to be a boyfriend, they're going to be a husband, and they're going to be a father. So we're trying to train those guys up. So so I want to talk a little bit about being a first responder and being and following Christ and Christ's example. And I think we can see that in an example of something like I think what Pastor Frank was saying, something bad happening. And unfortunately, we don't have to look very far. In fact, maybe just a couple of days ago, where we have a situation where something horrible happens. And in that situation, you have a group of people, just regular people like you and me, are in a public place, and something horrible happens. There's an explosion or gunfire, and everybody runs away from danger. What do we call those people? Smart. That's what we call them, right? Same situation. We see police and fire running towards the danger, towards the explosion, towards the gunfire. What do we call these people? Yeah, brave maybe. Or the opposite of smart, depending on how you look at it. But they're not running there because of the pay. They're not running there for the benefits. They're not running there for the accolades. I mean, did you see how Pastor Frank was squirming up here when they were saying what a great job and what a great leader is? I mean, the people who do this aren't doing it for the recognition. Why are they doing it? I think it really boils down to love. I think when we see people running towards danger, towards people in need, what we're seeing is a true definition, a true expression of real love. Now, maybe you didn't feel the love the last time you got pulled over for speeding, and you're chatting with one of these people at your window, and you know no one likes that, but you know it doesn't feel good. And I think our culture today really looks at love as more like a feeling, right? Like, that didn't feel good, so it didn't feel like love. But when does discipline feel good, right? And if you're a parent like me, man, wouldn't it just be so much easier not to have to discipline your kid? Like, that's a lot of work. It's exhausting, frankly. But we do it because we love our children, because we want to raise them up and be the kind of people we want, God wants them to be. So that's what's happening there. I mean, that motor officer who's giving that ticket perhaps is preventing a crash. Maybe the difference between your loved one getting home that night. So we've changed the definition. We've changed the definition over time about what love means. And I think we need to look back to the real definition, how Jesus defined love. And we can see that in 1 John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another." So how is Jesus defining love? I want to highlight where Jesus says the part, "as I have loved you." To love like Jesus loved is so different than the love our culture is selling us. Now you may be thinking, Thanks, Jesus. That's not a bar that we are going to easily maybe rise to. It's difficult to emulate Christ's love. We don't love perfectly. And Jesus, here's the good news. Jesus doesn't command us to be perfect in loving others. He merely commands us to love others as he's loved us. We don't come to church, right, because we got it all figured out. Like Pastor Frank said, we're here on a journey, and we're supporting and loving each other and trying to go to that place that God wants us to be. So we're trying to figure this out together. So in doing that, I want to take a look at how Jesus' love is unique and how we can express it in our lives. So number one, love is an action. I want to tell you about a turning point in my spiritual journey. In about 2013, I really felt my spiritual tank running dry. But it wasn't reflecting what was on the outside. On the outside, I had a life that was very good. I had a job. I was making good money. I'm getting benefits. My wife loves me. I got two boys who are healthy. I have it all worked out. I have a mortgage I can afford. All the things that the world is telling me, this is what you need to do, and you're gonna be okay. And I looked at my life, and it was kind of like a machine. I had every cog in that machine meshing together perfectly. But really on the inside, I found that I was lacking something. I was lacking, and because I knew I was lacking it, because at one time earlier in my life, I felt very close to the Lord. I felt that power and his influence driving me in my life, and I didn't feel that. And so if I was truly being honest with myself, and I think through just the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I realized that I was living a selfish life, that I was afraid of losing control of what I had because it was so good. Why mess with it? So, very afraid, I prayed to God alone in my room, and this is what I said. God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will do it. Now, if you've prayed this prayer, you know what happens next. And if you haven't prayed this prayer, I encourage you to do it. But I want to tell you something. God is going to take you at your word. 6 months later, I was standing in Cambodia in the epicenter of the biggest child sex trafficking red light district in Southeast Asia. And I probably wasn't prepared for that, but I didn't need to be. God put me there to give me the chance, the opportunity to love those young guys in that kickboxing gym, showing them that Jesus' love is a love that protects weak and vulnerable people. It's a love that frees and is justice in a world sometimes that doesn't give it to us any other way. And ultimately, my message to these guys is that we're created in God's image and we are made and designed to share Jesus' love, but we have to let him into our life first. So I've had people come and say, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I just don't feel that in my life right now. I don't feel like God is speaking to me. I don't feel like I'm making a difference. So I call them back to that time where I was alone in my bedroom, knees on my carpet, elbows up on my bed, and praying to ask God to use me. And it's scary, but it's an action. We have to take action. Number two, love does not require payback. Remember the Bud Light commercials? I love you, man. Those are good commercials. And the thing that's funny about it is that they're ironic, right? Because men don't look each other, other men in the eyes, typically and say, I love you, right? That was kind of weird when you're seeing it on TV. And it was ironic because they were saying it because the guy was handing them a beer. He wasn't saying, I love you because you've invested in me and I've invested in you and we're friends and we're brothers. No, it's like, thanks for the beer, man. I love you. Which sometimes is necessary. But it really kind of shines a light on what the world thinks about love. It's the love that our world wants us to believe is a love that comes from what people can do for you. I love you because you've done something for me. You've handed me this beer or whatever it is. And it's about giving so you get something back. And if you are a law enforcement officer or in the fire service or a nurse or a doctor, you know that there are broken people in this world who can't love back. They can't. And those are the people who need it. So when you're a police officer, you probably don't hear people, let me ask just in general, do you ever hear people say, yay, the cops are here? Not so much. You show up on people's worst day. You do. And even the people who called you to show up to help them, they're not even that happy to see you. Because they're like, let me tell you about my worst day. Now, I know there's some people in the fire service looking at each other like, I have no idea what he's talking about. It's amazing. It's a different perspective. It is hard to imagine. But when I was working for the Irvine Police Department, I had the distinct pleasure of going out on patrol with Pastor Frank in my patrol car. And he said 12 years. It's got to be more than 12 years because this is like almost 15 years ago. So anyway, so when Frank went out with me, it was weird because it was different than any other day that I would go out by myself. Every call that we went to, there was somebody there that was on their worst day. And I would be standing there, you know, taking notes on their worst day. And then Frank would be standing behind me, just kind of like looking over my shoulder and like smiling at the person. And as soon as that person made eye contact with Frank, they're like, get out of the way. I want to talk to this guy. And so he's talking to Frank, and this guy's like just baring his soul. Because ultimately, what does everybody need? Everybody needs two things, love and acceptance. And maybe they've never had it before. And Frank is there loving these people and sharing with them the love of Jesus. And it may be the first time in their life ever they get an opportunity to see Jesus because Frank is just available and being loving to them. Of course, I'm standing by the door, hearing the radio, looking at my watch, thinking, hey, man, calls are stacking up. We got to get going. These Irvine people are expecting, you know, response times. We got to, and he's like, shh, it's okay. You can't rush this. You know what I mean? Every call was like that. It was weird. So the other thing that was happening here, that there was no expectation to reciprocate. I mean, we were there giving them the love and acceptance and an opportunity to share and unburden themselves without an expectation to give anything back. And that's real love. Number three, love is sacrificial. And there may not be any other better expression of love than through sacrifice. Last week was Police Week in D.C. In 2 weeks, we're going to be having the Orange County Police Officers Memorial, where we're going to be honoring all the officers in Orange County who've fallen in duty serving others. And there's a reason why we honor them. Because we understand that for someone to put their life in front of yours, someone that you don't even know, a complete stranger to you, is special. And we see that in the life of Christ. Loving someone like Jesus loved is loving someone more than you love your creature comforts. It's more than your dislike, more than your love of or dislike of being inconvenienced. It's loving them more than you love your money. It's loving them more than you love your safety. It's loving them more than you love yourself. And here's the thing. It's not supposed to be easy. On our own, it's impossible. In 1 John 4, 9 through 12, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we have also ought to love another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. In Cambodia, in the poorest villages, children are being sold into sex slavery, often by their own mom and dad. For these people who are crushed under debt, sickness, and maybe starvation, they see their child as the last asset that they have. And maybe this is because of past trauma, of Pol Pot's regime, and a lost sense of what real love is, but there is really nobody there that will help them. In a country that's 90% Buddhist and has a clear class divide, the religious leaders, the government, and even the people who are wealthy enough to do that stuff, that could reach into those villages and help those people, will not do it. In that dark place, God's love is making a difference. Because people love, because God loved them, they're going into that country and changing it. There is an amazing transformation and revival happening in that country. It must be something like the first century church, where you have a small group of people, a light and a darkness, and they're fighting against this pantheon of religions and gods, and a government that's not very supportive. and they are making a difference because God loved them. In verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. My second trip to Cambodia was as a team leader. It was much different than my first trip. My first trip, I was the new guy, and I was surrounded by people who had experience going overseas in a missions field, and they knew what they were doing. So it was a great learning experience for me. My second time around, not so much. It was a smaller team, people who have never been in the mission field, never been outside the United States, and were going to Cambodia. It was crazy. In fact, we got off the plane, we're standing in the street waiting for our little tuk-tuk to take us to the hotel, and there's a man who is pulled into the street by the local police, and he was beaten by about 15 guys, by police officers and private security. And I was like, everybody back up, right? So before we went, one of the people on my team who is stepping out in faith and in love to do this thing that God is calling her to do, but she is scared. She's freaked out. Because mainly, she's full of self-doubt. She's thinking, I don't have anything to offer. I'm going to this country. These are people I don't have anything in common with, and I don't know what to do. And maybe you're there too. Maybe in your own home, in your neighborhood. Maybe you're thinking that I'm not worthy to step out and help people. Like, who am I? I'm a messed up individual. And I told her, you don't have to do anything. Just love these people. That's it. You just need to be there. You just need to love them and be available, because guess what? God is going to throw something right in front of you, and just be available to do it. And it'll, like, you won't even have to plan it. It'll just happen. And it happened. And I remember her coming after at the end of the day, and she's like, this thing happened. And I'm like, praise God. Like, you just need to be available and love people. You don't have to be ready. Here's the beauty of the whole thing. God isn't expecting you to pull it off on your own. Like it said in the verse, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. What makes this so amazing is that we cannot love like Jesus without God changing us from the inside out. God is not waiting for us to get it right. He's not waiting for us to be complete, full, ready to go with human beings. He's like, where you are right now, I need you to be in that place, to love these people and just be available. He takes us right where we are, imperfect, confused, and weak, and he shines his love through us, sometimes in spite of us. So, in conclusion, we see that love is an action. It doesn't require payback, and it's sacrifice. But we need more than just the example of Jesus. He was more than just a good teacher or moral compass. He was the Son of God. He was made flesh. He came here and atoned for our sins. We need his transforming supernatural presence in our lives to be who we truly are meant to be. And if you're sitting here today and maybe this is the first time you've heard this, or maybe you've been coming to this church and maybe you're a believer and you're thinking, I feel God pulling me to step out in action, to be available, and you want to know how to do that. There are people on the ministry team here who would love to talk to you about that. So no commitment, just come and chat with them, all right? And learn what God can do for you in your life, in your spiritual life now. And if you want to know more about Jesus, that's the first step. Just talk to somebody about it. So I'd like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to this world to be a living sacrifice, to be a paid ransom for our sins, so that we can have an everlasting relationship with you. Lord, I ask for the courage for us to step out in love, to serve and to sacrifice, maybe not perfectly, but through your presence in our lives, that your love may be made complete in us. Amen.
Well, thank you. What an awesome blessing just to hear. For us, as we continue in worship this morning, let's take that challenge and move forward as we sing, who is our source of courage and strength? Let's sing this song.